Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, the four budgets announced in 2020 introduced measures to help businesses, workers, and households who've been impacted by COVID-19 adapt to the changing environment. And in 2 weeks' time, exactly 2 weeks today, on the 16th of February, the Singapore budget will be delivered in Parliament. But what can we expect from the coming budget, and what does this mean for Singapore's economy? Well, we're joined today by Pushan Dutt, and he's a professor of economics and political science at INSEAD. Pushan, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Wonderful to have you back on the show. The budgets of 2020, they were focused really on overcoming the crisis of a generation to help businesses, workers, households through the COVID-19 pandemic. But reflecting back on the measures implemented, how have we fared?
So I think overall Singapore has fared very well, and I'm quite optimistic about the future. So this was, as you said, once in a generation crisis. So the Singapore economy shrank by 5.8%, the first recession in its history. But it was still lower than had been forecast, because earlier estimates were saying it would shrink well in excess of 6%. So when we ask this question, how did Singapore do, we always have to think about relative to what? Like, is it relative to other advanced economies? Is it relative to other choices that Singapore could have made, other policies it could have adopted? Now, the government's first objective is to safeguard the well-being of its citizens. And in that respect, Singapore has done a remarkably good job in saving lives. There have been only 21 fatalities in total. Mm-hmm. Now, if I look at other advanced economies, they contracted by about 5%, which is very comparable to Singapore's performance. But we should keep in mind that Singapore is different. It's what we economists call a small open economy. So it's not a master of its own destiny, but it depends on how other economies are doing, like US, China, and the European Union, its big trading partners. This makes the performance actually even more impressive. So Singapore followed the prescription of economists and epidemiologists, which is, let's just crush the curve, take the hit, and then we can get onto the path of recovery. Other advanced economies did not do this. They chose instead a start and stop strategy. Now, emerging markets, especially within this region, have contracted by less, by about 2.4%. But do keep in mind that what they did was they did not have a choice. They had to choose livelihoods because they lacked the resources to actually shut down. So my only mild critique would be is that vaccinations are not happening fast enough in Singapore. If I look at the numbers, Singapore ranks 36th in the world in terms of vaccinations per 100 people. By contrast, Israel has vaccinated nearly half of its population. So the faster this vaccination can be done, the faster we get the economy on track. And this quick recovery will provide a unique opportunity, I think, for Singapore, and instill a sense of confidence in its long-term viability.
And just going back to the budget measures, Pushan, how have the measures in the 2020 Unity, Resilience, Solidarity and Fortitude budgets positioned Singapore from a regional perspective? Because we did see a lot of support for job security, for households.
So what really differentiates Singapore, mm-hmm. I think, from many other countries that I also study is that Singapore uses a very practical lens. So essentially what they did was they asked, what kind of crisis is this and what would work? Many countries made the mistake of thinking that the COVID shock was like the global financial crisis. But that's not actually accurate. It's better thought of as a natural disaster. So what do you do in a natural disaster? Essentially, you provide relief, you do this quickly, and you go big. So the 2020 budgets should be thought of as fiscal relief rather than fiscal stimulus, pandemic relief. Now, other countries, including in this region, they started arguing about, you know, how many billions of dollars of spending is sustainable, how will we finance this, how will this look politically. So Singapore instead did what is, I think, the right strategy, is you put the economy into deep freeze. You get the virus under control and then the economy can come back. Now, the government has moved quickly on both on the tracks, which is crushing the spread of the disease and making mm-hmm. sure that supply chains don't break, employer-employee relations don't break. We don't get a spate of bankruptcy and a spike of in unemployment. Other countries in the region are not so fortunate. Many denied initially that COVID was even a problem. Yeah. And then they lacked the space to implement these kinds of fiscal reliefs. And finally, they also sort of politicized it.
So, Bhushan, looking at the budget and beyond, how do you think the events of the past year will reshape and change Singapore's economy going forward?
So I think there are lots of useful lessons which have been revealed. So the pandemic has been a stress test for all economies, including Singapore. So mm-hmm. I think the first big lesson is the importance of diversification. Some sectors have proven to be much more resilient than others. So for instance, tourism has been hit really badly. Another example for Singapore would be Singapore has this corporate headquarters strategy, attracting R&D centers, corporate headquarters. Now this strategy becomes very hard as long as there are travel restrictions in place. So going forward, what Singapore, like all other countries, have to do is they don't just have to think about the rewards and growth potential, they also have to think in terms of resilience and risks. The second thing I've noticed is the pandemic has not affected all people equally. We talk about a K-shaped recovery. Mm-hmm. In Singapore, for instance, high-skilled workers, you know, like us, have simply switched to remote work, whereas unskilled workers have not been so lucky. So if I again look at the numbers in Singapore, the non-PMET employment took a much bigger hit compared to professional and managerial workers, which means that the government has to continue its push in upskilling workers and providing digital infrastructure, bridging the digital divide. The last thing I think is that it might be time that we look at social safety nets and unemployment insurance a bit more seriously, because what is happening in the world is we are getting buffeted by a series of shocks. So here it's important to have pre-existing safety nets, okay, which are sort of targeted, but which automatically kick in rather than we have to invent everything from the start. So currently, for instance, Singapore provides relief to workers via businesses to help workers keep their jobs. Now, this is fine with large enterprises, but SMEs have struggled a lot. So overall, I think we need to think not just about business resilience, but we also have to think about social resilience.
We're speaking with Bhushan Dutt, a professor of economics and political sciences at INSEAD. So Bhushan, with COVID-19 still a very global issue, what's your outlook for Singapore's economy in the year ahead? As you mentioned, we are an open economy and COVID-19 is still very much a part of our daily lives here and elsewhere across the globe.
Yeah, so if I look at the growth projections, which recently came out from the IMF for mm-hmm. all economies, the growth projections are actually quite optimistic. But there are a lot of caveats that we have to keep in mind. So, for instance, even if Singapore manages to vaccinate everyone, you know, there's always the outside chance that a new variant of the virus might emerge, which does not respond to the vaccine. The second thing is that even if we manage to come out on the other side, given how open Singapore is, given, you know, its unique reliance on trade, multinationals, immigration, it is critical that other countries recover as well. So the thing that worries me globally is that rich countries and middle income countries have locked up all the vaccines. So lower income countries are being shut out. Now, in today's hyper global world, it means that the pandemic will continue to have an economic impact if the world collectively does not solve this issue. Now, Singapore's big trading partners are ones in the region, the European Union, US, China, and almost all of them have access to vaccines, which means that economic growth will be strong in all mm-hmm. of our trading partners, and we can exit and return to normal economic activity. So overall, a strong outlook, but subject to the caveat that there is no new variant that is immune to the vaccine.
Well, Bhushan, thank you so much for sharing all those insights with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Bhushan Dutt, Professor of Economics and Political Science at INSEAD, right here on In the Spotlight on Prime Time on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to the full interview, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.